Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Mary Beth Maziarz. Our next guest, Rick Nemiroff, spent his career as a trial lawyer in the kind of work where success can often pull you further from people and deeper into the business side of the business. A few years ago, sitting around a kitchen island with his business partner, Leah Erickson, and chef Jeff Mahan.
Mahan,
thank you. He decided to trade the courtroom for a donut counter. The result is Chomp Donuts and Coffee, you know you love it, in Kimball Junction, a shop built on a very unlawyerly premise. Give people something so good, made with such care, that it needs no closing argument. Since opening in Park City, Chomp has become as much a community hub as bakery, known for treating a donut like a Michelin-level plate and creating a warm, delicious welcome for anyone who walks in. Rick Nemiroff, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So your earlier part of your life, you spent decades as a trial lawyer building cases for a living. What made you decide to shift and that your next chapter should be built around donuts?
Well, I think my career always involved people, trying cases, picking juries, interacting, telling stories, taking very complex things and making them simple. I loved that part of it as my career progressed. It's funny, the more successful you get, the less you sometimes get to do the thing you love the most. And I just found myself looking for something else. I wasn't sure what it was. Good news is one of my dear friends, Jeff Mahan, a chef, was also looking for something to do. He had left the restaurant group, was doing consulting work, and we got around the kitchen island and decided he always wanted to do donuts again. He had done it earlier in his career, even though he had worked in fine dining and run Michelin star restaurants. He always loved the idea of giving something simple to people on a regular basis that's super high quality, which is very much in line with the kind of hospitality ethos I think applies to both trying cases as well as good restaurants. We talked, we decided, and donuts were it. It was, how do you take something that is so nostalgic and so loved by so many and make it simple, fresh, but super high quality? And that's what we did.
I love that. And were donuts always something that you enjoyed or loved, or was that kind of the lucky thing that just happened to come up?
It's interesting. I don't think I realized when we decided to do Chomp how I had tried to do donuts before. When I first moved to Park City some 17 years ago, I noticed there was no donut shops here. So I reached, and I remember this, and I'd forgotten, then I remembered it as we're doing Chomp, that I reached out to Dunkin' Donuts to say, hey, why don't we have any Dunkin' Donuts in Park City? Found out that I learned all about territories and how things work, and someone owned all the rights to Dunkin' Donuts, and it wasn't going to be up here. So I said, okay, well, strike one. No, that's not going to happen. Then many, many years later, a friend of mine, who actually is one of our investors in Chomp, who loves donuts probably more than I could ever imagine, he and I talked many years ago about, hey, what if we brought one, open a donut shop here, brought one of the ones from Salt Lake City up here. And that never really went anywhere. That was strike two. Well, it wasn't going to be strike three. It was going to be a home run on the third swing was Chomp. So in hindsight, I was building up to this moment. I just don't think I realized it.
Back in my woo-woo days, I've had a lot of fun eras of my life. But some people would say that the universe always has your best interests at heart, and I would imagine that running a franchise would be much different control-wise than what you're able to do as the founders of this new company. How do you see those in your mind?
100%. In fact, I joke that having run my own law firm for a very long time, I am unemployable by anybody else. I've got to be my own boss, or I just can't do it, other than Leah and Jeff, who I have to report to on various things. the idea of creating something from scratch, and I think this has been the most exciting part of the journey. When you're a lawyer, you can create cases, but the litigation and kind of the law exists, and then you're being creative within that. To create a brand from the ether, as we did with Chomp, where all we knew is we wanted to do donuts.
and maybe coffee. And to just start with that, to come up with the name, the color, obviously our boxes are just...
Your boxes are spectacular. Everyone in town is using these for things afterwards.
Yes, we love our boxes. Really were one of the first things we created because we realized that the giftability, that sense of showing up to somebody's home with donuts, if you get it from us, you know, from the gas station or just the grocery store, they're donuts, they're fine, they are what they are. But they're the flimsy white boxes with the little, with the clear plastic on top. We wanted something that said, hey, this shows we care. This shows that this is special. And I remember that from, again, some of my trial lawyer experiences. When you hold a photograph in your hand and you hold it gingerly and you treat it as something precious, people perceive it as something precious, and it's super important. It's not just a piece of paper with some images on it. Yeah. We treat our donuts and our boxes the exact same way. We could just throw them around,
yep,
and no one would think no one would think much of them. But because we treat them and present them in a very special, cared for, high quality way, people perceive and receive them,
yes,
in that very same way.
They're precious.
They are.
And if, in case you haven't been blessed with a box of Chomp donuts, these boxes are really, really substantial. They're a heavy cardboard. They seal nicely. And truly, I think I read a tweet that was like, I did not know that so many times in my adult life I would be thinking, wow, that's a nice box. What a nice box, that, like, of any box. But to have this be something that's not going to get smushed in the backseat of your car, or that, you know, as you're going to bring your donuts to your friends and be a hero, it's a wonderful attention to detail. And I think people appreciate it.
And in fact, when you open the box, the kind of surprise that people have, and it is a surprise when people open the box, they think the donuts are all going to be smushed in there like so many, like most, if not all, donut shops do, or even bakeries.
Yep.
We have dividers.
Yes.
Even though we tell our kids when they're growing up, it's okay that the food on your plate touches each other, I do not believe that applies to donuts.
I agree. Well, we have a son who's allergic to nuts, and it's kind of a nice thing if the nutty donut isn't touching the glazed one, even though it's probably not going to cause a reaction. And if maybe you're a person who doesn't like fruit in your donuts, keep those fruit ones all to themselves. It's perfect.
And those caramel donuts, they really, really are sticky, and they really want to, like, touch the sprinkle donuts and pull the sprinkles off. So we have to separate them. It's like, yes, cats and dogs. We need to keep them away from each other.
I love it. Well, you and Leah and Jeff split the business into swim lanes. You handle legal, finance, and corporate, and you've joked that you're not allowed in the kitchen. How did you figure out how your legal instincts and background were actually useful here, and where you had to consciously maybe set them aside?
Well, the thing about staying in your lanes is it's more of a Venn diagram. We do overlap.
Okay. But
there are things that we all rely upon each other to do within their skill sets. Leah with catering and sales and running our social media and our website, which, and if you ever see our social media is a ton of fun, and we get a lot of compliments on it.
And is it just Chomp Donuts?
It's just Chomp Donuts.
All right.
And so it's like, it's at Chomp Donuts on Instagram, and it's great. Jeff is an amazing chef, and I'm not going to be able to tell Jeff how to cook something. I can tell Jeff if I like the taste of something, but I'm certainly not going to tell him how to make something. And similarly, neither Leah nor Jeff are going to be able to really push me on legal issues, whether it's reading a lease or negotiating a deal or something along those lines. That's where I've got the skill set to say, okay, I could read the legalese and understand what's important and not important. By staying in our kind of our little swim lanes, we're all able to capitalize on our strengths and rely upon each other's strengths. But then there's so much collaboration that goes on between us all. We have meetings every week offsite. We do this so that way we can get ourselves out of the shop and talk about the issues that we're facing, our growth, numbers, plans, details, and so forth. By doing all of that, we play to the strengths, we support each other, and we rely upon each other. And I think that has made it very successful. In fact, Leah and I were just at a restaurant down in Midway where a local owner was saying to us how impressive that is and how they wish they had that kind of separation where everyone can do something different. I don't have to worry about things that Jeff's worrying about or Leah's worrying about, and likewise, they don't have to worry about what I'm doing. And we then get together and discuss, hey, this is where we are and how we're going to move forward.
That's wonderful, because everyone has different mindsets and different strength areas. And a lot of times founders at the beginning try to do everything themselves. And that's just from necessity. It's not like they're trying to be control freaks, but coming into it with this wonderful division of area, at least, must be super helpful. I could see how that would be good.
It is. And what's great by having, we each have varied experiences. Obviously, Jeff comes from the restaurant industry. He worked for one of the largest, most successful restaurant groups in the country. So he understands the complexity of running restaurants and how things work. I, having run a business and having to deal with the finances and everything, understand that piece of it. Leah, coming from a corporate sales background, understands how to put procedures in place so that way we have consistency across our sales platforms. All of those things allow us to move forward at a nice clip and not get ourselves tripped up, which I think really is beneficial to all of us. And that's, we rely upon it as a strength.
Yeah. Well, speaking of like delays, the building delays pushed your opening back a few months early on, and you chose to be public about it rather than go quiet. As a former litigator, was there a temptation to try to control that narrative more tightly, or that sometimes even leads you to want to control anything a bit more than the average person? Leah is smiling in the background.
Oh, yes. She knows the story. So for those of you who followed us at the beginning last summer when we were trying to open, I thought I had the most brilliant idea of putting the countdown, the clock that was going to count down to our opening.
And it sounds like a good idea.
You know what? It was brilliant. It was mine. I loved it.
It creates a suspense and excitement.
People were following it. And it was great. The unfortunate part is it didn't work. Because every time we hit zero, we had a reset. And finally, Leah and Jeff said, hey, Rick, can we please nix the countdown? And I had to kind of cry uncle and say, okay, fine. And then Leah really leaned in on, let's introduce ourselves to the community. Let's involve the community. So Jeff was taking photos during construction. Leah was posting what was going on and telling the story of the rain delays and the leaky roof and everything. And the craziest thing is that we had people coming into the store asking us how they could help us.
Are you serious?
It was the crazy. Jeff says, like, in all the years of restaurants and decades of restaurants, he has never seen potential customers come in and ask how they can help open the store faster.
People are passionate for donuts. And you guys.
We clearly touched a nerve. Wow. and in a good way. And it was fascinating, which is why when we opened on Black Friday in November, we had lines out the door that were, it really tears to my eyes, pains in my back, because it was long days and stuff. But it was fascinating to watch all the people who supported us show up.
Oh, that is really amazing. If you're just joining the program, I'm speaking with Rick Nemiroff, co-founder of Chomp Donuts right here in Park City. You know you've seen them around. They're blue and white, beautiful boxes, and they're delicious donuts. Not that I encourage this strategy, but there is a story about a customer who balked at the prices because this is a premium product. It's not as cheap as a donut you might find at the 7-Eleven, but you get different things for that.
Yes.
When that customer was balking, you gave her a donut rather than to defend the price. Does that instinct to let the product make the argument instead of you feel like an evolution of years of arguing for a living?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the most powerful things that you're taught when you're trying cases is not to give the answer to a jury. If the jury answers the question on their own based upon all the facts, if they get to the conclusion you want on their own, it's so much more powerful because it's created in their own mind. It's not being delivered to them. I think we do the same. I took that very concept of let the product, let the story do the telling, not me. And when I gave the woman the donut and her head dropped down and she just said, fine, what do I owe you? And I said, you owe me nothing. I said, and she is now, and we've done this a number of times,
Sure. Whether
it's taste or cost or whatever the case may be, we have created what we call customers for life by simply letting them discover the donut on their own without us having to tell them how great it is.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, when people are told something, I think that there's a natural inclination to either move toward it or push away from it. And so they don't have to make that decision if they their own minds are creating, it's kind of like therapy, right? Like the therapist isn't supposed to tell you what they're absolutely noticing as these crazy patterns in your life. You're supposed to realize it because it's so much more powerful. I get it.
It is. And it's worked. It's worked repeatedly with, again, back to the social media where we involve people in the story. They come in and they see it and we can post pictures, we can post stories, but the real proof is in the pudding, if you will, or proof is in the donuts. When people come in and they realize, my God, what is in this Boston cream? And we don't advertise it as this is a pastry cream that comes from a recipe that's used in Michelin star restaurants that we make every day in the store, like everything that's in or on our donuts. And people are just like, wow, this is great. We let the donut tell that story. We don't advertise it. The fact that our sprinkles are made by hand. Yes, we make our own sprinkles. We pipe them out.
Oh, good
they
Lord.
Stay on sheets, and then we crack them, and then we put them in. Our strawberry jam is made in the store on a regular basis, so we make fresh strawberry jam. The cream that's in our cookies and cream is made in the store. We make our cookies and cream donut right now, if you were to have it, the cookie is actually crushed and made so that it's not something that's a store-bought cookie that we then crush. We're not going to buy an Oreo and then just smushing it. We actually make our own.
What?
By not telling anybody, well, of course, I'm telling everybody that right now.
Well, you can in a situation
exactly.
This.
Now I can do this. But when we explain that to somebody, when they come into the store and they look at it, that is so powerful because their taste buds and their smell, the sense of smell, all of that kind of coalesces into like, wow, what? They don't even know
this
why.
This is different.
It is. It's different. They don't understand. They don't have to know it. All they need to know is they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And full stop. If they're enjoying it, we've won.
Wow. That's fantastic. I didn't even know one could make sprinkles. This is craziness and exciting. Wow.
Yes.
A lot of second act founders keep one foot in their old career as kind of a safety net. But other people say you have to make a big leap and truly commit to the next era of your life in order to make it successful. You seem to have gone all in. What have you had to let go of, professionally or personally, to make that leap?
It's a mindset. I was very fortunate to have a successful law firm, and I still have the law firm. I still have a couple of lawyers working for me. They manage everything. I'm very much hands-off when it comes to that. I guess in an emergency break glass, I will practice if I needed to. But the thing that has made this really successful for all of us, and I don't just mean me, but for the entire organization, is that I'm able to very much compartmentalize what I need to do. And that's something I've learned over a relatively long career in law, is how to put things in the boxes they need to be into and focus on the things they need to be focused on. I am completely committed to making Chomp grow. And that is what my job is I'm finding new locations, I'm finding new deals, I'm working on financing and all the other things that make this grow. I don't think I'm not looking to keep a foot back in case this doesn't fail. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I am walking so, not walking, I'm running and sprinting forward through this that if this fails, then it's gonna hurt. But I don't think it will, and I'm very confident. And that I think that confidence is what we all have, and it exudes out of us.
Absolutely.
That success is going to happen. It's not will it happen. It's like when will it happen?
Nice. I love that. Well, speaking of that, what are some of the things coming down the pike for Chomp Donuts and coffee?
Well, as many of my friends know, and those who follow us on Instagram we haven't posted this on our Chomp. I've posted it on my personal one. We were very fortunate last season at the Delta Center to be selling into the suites. We were selling dozens of boxes to the suite owners with an eye towards, hey, how do I get in? And I was persistent to the point of too persistent. I was probably,
a trial attorney was too insistent?
Yeah, I was like a dog looking for a bone. And we were very fortunate that the Delta Center and the Livy Restaurant Group that runs concessions there has invited us to be in the Delta Center starting in October.
Oh, that's so exciting.
So we will be making hot, fresh donuts on site on the upper level, third floor, starting with the Mammoth season starting, I think, October 1st.
Wow.
And we will have donuts there that we don't sell anyplace else. We'll have some toppings that we don't do anyplace else. So we're super excited about that. And then I will be signing a lease this week for a space down in Salt Lake City.
Yay!
So we will be on South Temple, just next, right by the Alta Club and around the corner from O.C. Tanner off of State Street. We will be opening our first Salt Lake City Chomp location. And then we've got a bunch of other fun stuff that we will be announcing over the next couple of months as we get more leases signed and more things. But we are expanding. And we're also looking for, I know my friends over in the Heber Valley keep asking us, and we're looking at some options over there as well.
Oh, that's exciting. I mean, people have been willing to drive. They want their chomp, but I think this is terrific. That'll be, you'll find a whole new audiences everywhere you go.
Wow. We want to be where people are, and we want to make it easy for people to find us. Look, it's they're donuts and coffee. This is, I don't want to say it's not rocket science, because as I've kind of explained, some of the recipes are rocket science. Yeah. We just put them into a donut. But we want to make it accessible and available for everybody. This should not be a once-in-a-lifetime or a anniversary dinner kind of experience. Everyone should have access. I believe everyone should have access to good, great donuts and great coffee.
Quote of the day, my friend.
There it is.
What's your favorite donut at the moment? Maybe it changes.
So we have a lemon curd filled donut, which I am a huge fan of. Now, I'm not generally a huge filled donut fan, but this one is just knocks my socks off. I think it's great. And I will say that the new cookies and cream that we just launched has been a surprising success to the point where people are now demanding it stay on the menu, but we like to keep it fresh. So what we, you know, we lean in on local ingredients, we lean in on what's in season. So, you know, keep an eye out, but the lemon donut, right? The lemon filled donut right now is my favorite, but it's, you're not, there's no bad donuts.
Well, seasonal things that come and go, they do create a little urgency. Like, I want to go in there and get there and make sure that I have that while it's still around and it's so great. And how often do you kind of switch things up?
Every couple weeks, Leah and Jeff will get together, and Jeff will come up with recipes. Leah will go in and take pictures and post on our Instagram, and we'll announce a new a fresh donut. We like to keep we have our standard 12 donuts, which is kind of perfect, because that way when someone comes in, they can have one of each.
Yeah.
We started out with, like, I think 15 or 16 donuts, and people would say, well, just give me your favorite 12, and we realized, oh, I've got to pick a favorite. Well, that doesn't work. So we eliminated it. We narrowed it down to 12 regulars, and then we have our 13th, that is the special donut of the time period, and we rotate it through, and then we take some off, and then people get they I won't say they get mad, but they want their favorite donut back. Those of you who remember the blueberry lemon crumble donut.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yep, that will come back at some point. And then we have some savory, like more savory donuts, like the maple bacon praline, which is just unbelievable, because we don't just lay bacon on top of a donut. We actually pulverize it so that every bite tastes great. Those are some of our staples. Wow. So we keep those around. But we also have a suggestion box.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. So we just, in fact, the cookies and cream donut came as a result of going to the suggestion box and seeing how people have recommend or asked for a certain type of donut. And we're like, okay, let's go to the people who are eating them and ask them what they want.
That's so smart. Like basically lobbying for the donuts that they want.
That's exactly right.
Well, what is your best-selling donut at the moment,
I believe the vanilla bean glazed donut is the best selling. And now, vanilla the thing that's amazing about that is it seems like such a simple, boring donut, except it's not. As with all things, the devil's in the details. Mm-hmm. The fact that we take vanilla beans, roast them, and pulverize them and put them into the batter so that the flavor of vanilla, it's not vanilla syrup, it's not vanilla extract, it is vanilla beans. Wow. By putting vanilla beans into the base of the dough, it eliminates the need to put a whole bunch of goop on top of it, so we can put a very light glaze and the entire donut does not feel super heavy and goopy. Right. It feels like, wow, it tastes light, it's perfect, it tastes vanilla-like, but I don't taste it all over the syrupy type of thing, and I don't have any of
not cloying.
Yeah, that thing in the back of your throat when you have like processed foods.
Yep.
You don't get that. And the reason is it's the base. We start at the beginning with how do you do it at a very kind of good level, at a great level to begin with. Like, what are the ingredients that go into it? And when you do that, you eliminate the need for all the extra processed stuff to add flavor. Our flavor starts at the beginning. It doesn't get added at the end.
Wow, I love that. So as we wrap up, tell people if they're not and I don't know how this could be the case, if they're not familiar with where you are or your hours, tell them where they can find Chomp Donuts.
Absolutely. We are at Kimball Junction out in Kimball Plaza. I can say there's two landmarks that are near us. You got the Wendy's in front of us, mm-hmm. or for those of you who are more interested, the liquor stores at the other end of the shopping center. So depending upon what interests you, you're either going to find the Wendy's or the liquor store, and if you do either one of those things, you're going to find Chomp Donuts right on the corner. Come sit on our outside patio. Come sit on our furniture. Come hang out. It's a great place to be.
And what are your hours there?
Our hours during the summer are 6:30 to 4:30, 7 days a week. Our Sundays are super busy. Please come give us a try.
And I imagine, you know, it is a fresh ingredients. What time should you get there by to make sure you have a really good selection?
Oh, you'll have a great selection all day long.
Okay.
I will tell you, if you're there at 4:30 expecting to get all the donuts, you're not going to get them. But we make them fresh every morning. Nothing is made overnight and then sitting in a case. Like, as anyone knows who's been by, the chefs are bringing the donuts out fresh starting at 6 and change in the morning. So it's quite an experience.
Oh, Rick Nemiroff of Chomp Donuts, what a pleasure to have you on the program. Who doesn't like donuts? Go visit Chomp. This has been just a delight speaking with you.
Thank you so very much for having me.